Hey everybody, this is Joe from Home Studio Corner, and it's time for another round of Ask Joe, and I've got a few more questions today. Not as many as the last time, but I've got 8. So I am broadcasting live from my hometown of Yazoo City, Mississippi, so eat your heart out. All right, first question is from Gabriel. And he says, I was recently listening to some simple acoustic songs by Jack Johnson, and I was wondering to myself why more mainstream professional songs sound so much more different than the ones I make at home. Is it the EQ that makes the big difference, or is it just the overall cost that they put into their music versus the cost I put into mine? I'm jealous, basically. Well, that's a great question, Gabriel, and honestly, there's no quick answer to that. Is Jack Johnson using better equipment? Are his engineers using better equipment than what you have at home? Probably, and that's going to make a big difference in the sound of the recordings. But also, keep in mind, this is a professional, and he's working with professional engineers and in professional studios. So combine all that really good equipment with the fact that these are really experienced engineers, and they know how to get a good sound, and that's going to really be the key difference. You ask if it's EQ that makes the difference. EQ can make a difference. Learning how to effectively EQ a track is huge. But if the track doesn't sound all that great to begin with because the person recording it doesn't know the best way to record an acoustic guitar, for example, then EQ is not going to really help you all that much. So it's a combination of both experience and good equipment. Sarang asks, how can hardware-based processing out of the box in a DAW... his English isn't very well. He's basically asking how to use an analog compressor with a DAW. Basically, you just run the signal through it. If you've got something you've already recorded and you want it to go through a hardware compressor, you actually just send it out one of your outputs of your interface, run it through the analog compression, and then record that back into a new track. If you're talking about using it on the front end, like you run your microphone through a nice preamp and then want to run it through a compressor, then you just run it straight through before ever going into your DAW. Let's see, Quaz says, hi Joe, I just want to say I love your site and your videos and really appreciate what you're doing. Well, thank you, Quaz. I recently upgraded my vocal mic from an AKG C2000 to an MXL Genesis, and this is a major upgrade for me. It sounds great. I can really tell the difference instantly. I'm not working so hard to get the sound I want. However, with it being my first tube mic, I'm a little lost on its care. A friend told me to hang it upside down so the heat of the tube does not rise to the capsule. He also said to leave it on for a day and let the tube set in. Now, I did read enough to know not to hot plug it, and I know it does not need phantom power. However, I'm curious if I should hang it upside down. Do I need to let the tube set in? And what other things about tube mics should I know? Thanks, Joe. Well, I own a tube mic as well, and I've never heard leaving it on for an entire day. I think that's probably, maybe it makes a difference, but I would just ask the manufacturer themselves. They know their mic, and they know what makes it sound best. Now, with tube mics, you do have to let them warm up. You should turn it on and let it warm up for at least 20 to 45 minutes so that it gets in the groove and kind of gets warmed up to where it sounds its best. As far as leaving it on for a day, I don't think that's necessary. And as far as hanging it upside down, honestly, I've never heard of that being any worse than right side up. I mean, these are made to do both, and I don't think it makes a huge difference. If you're going to leave it on for 24 hours, then yes, the heat might build up, and that might make a difference, but I don't suggest doing that, so I don't think whether it's right side up or upside down is going to make a huge difference. Let's see. Keith says, I'm looking to set up Pro Tools LE with an Inbox 2 Pro with lots of plugins and virtual instruments. What I'd like to do is set up Pro Tools and all the virtual instruments and plugins on a 1 terabyte external drive and use it with my desktop PC and my laptop PC on the go. Is it possible to do this with one hard drive? If so, how? Okay. Fundamentally, you might be missing what's going on here. You have to install Pro Tools on your system drive, any software, whether it's Pro Tools or Microsoft Word, you have to install it on the internal drive of your computer. There's no way around that. Now, if you were to boot your computer off of an external drive, you could feasibly do that, but there's really no reason to do that. What you want to do, install Pro Tools and your plugins on both computers, and then use the external drive as your audio drive. That's where you're going to store all the Pro Tools session files, and that's where you're going to record and play back all your audio. Then you just take that back and forth between the two systems. You can also put your virtual instrument samples on there. If you have something like Synthogy Ivory with a bunch of piano samples, you can put those on the external drive as well. But you don't want to, you can't install Pro Tools on an external drive. You have to install it on the system drive itself. Rick has a question about acoustic treatment. He says, "Hi Joe, I have a fairly large room where I mix, but it does present some problems as far as being treating or as far as treating it acoustically. First of all, it's not solely a studio, so my wife must approve of the things that go in it. The room is about 20 by 24 with a 12-foot vaulted ceiling, and treating the walls is difficult since it's not just a studio. But I wonder about freestanding acoustic panels that I can set up behind and to the sides if I were to mix. I thought maybe 2x4-foot panels on stands to create sort of an 8x12 space inside the room. Do you think this would work very well, or is treating the walls the only way to really help the room?" Well, honestly, Rick, what you're talking about is great. If you can treat the walls, that'd be awesome, because you're going to still get flutter echo from the sound bouncing around the room. And Arlex actually makes these panels that are very, they actually look like paintings, but they're acoustically treated. So you could put those around the room and your wife would think they look nice. That's something to look into. Otherwise, doing some freestanding things is great. John over at Audio Geek Zine does this, I know. He uses just basic mic stands to hold up his panels, and he uses some kind of broadband absorbers for that. And that would be a good idea, too. So I think you're right on. Just as long as you're thinking through this and trying things, you're going to be great. Most people don't even think about acoustic treatment, which you're in far better shape than them. Ramon says, "I can't stress how happy I am to have found out about homestudiocorner.com. Awesome. Let's see. His question is, he's got an 8-track drum session. The drums are much faster than the song is supposed to be. Since I have Pro Tools 6.4, I'm not able to use Time Elastic Tool available in Pro Tools 7.4 to 8. I tried downloading the free version of Serato Pitch and Time, but my system is not compatible because I'm using a Digi 001 still. What do you recommend I do to stretch the drum tracks without affecting the overall quality? Thanks again for this great site, Ramon." Well, Ramon, your question, and I'll read that again, is what do you recommend I do that I can stretch the drum tracks without affecting the overall quality? You can't do that. Anytime you're stretching something, even a little bit, you're going to affect the quality. And if it sounds like the drums are much faster, like you said, then you're going to be compressing those and making the timing less, and it's really going to affect the sound quality. The only thing you really can do in this situation, and any situation, even if you were on Pro Tools 8 with a 003, I would tell you to go back and re-record the drums. It's just, if they weren't recorded at the right tempo, that's just the fault of whoever recorded them. Not enough planning went into that session to get rid of, or to plan out the tempo and set that accordingly. So you can try to stretch them and compress them with nice plugins, and I just honestly, it's not going to sound good still. So that's probably not the answer you wanted, but that's what I would do if I was in your shoes. And okay, and the last question here is from Harry. And Harry says, "I'm a more or less 100% digital musician. I hail from the underground genre of dubstep. But whenever I'm looking on sites such as yours, I'm bombarded with information about gating, limiting, compressing, EQing, etc. These are all things that I do, but with everything I keep getting told, I feel that I need to do more. Saying that, I feel most of my songs sound okay, but I'm worried I'm not listening to them through a professional enough ear. I will usually put a limiter on the whole mix to stop anything from getting overpowering or distorted. I'll EQ all of my drum hits to cut out the extreme lows and give them boosting where needed. Also, if a bass line is drowning anything, I will cut where needed. And I will compress the recorded vocals and the odd drum hit, and that's about it. Do I need to own a whole mastering suite to get a good digital sound? Or is that what I'm doing enough?" Well, that's a great question, Harry. And honestly, I don't know what you mean by good digital sound. It's all digital. And you said in the beginning of that you're pretty happy with the sound of your songs. And if you're happy, that's really, in a lot of ways, that's the end of the story. If you're happy with what it sounds like, I don't know why you would change anything. But if you listen to it next to a professional recording and you notice that it's either not as loud or not as full and doesn't sound as good, then yeah, you maybe need to work on getting better at mixing and mastering. As far as getting a mastering suite, it depends. If you're doing the mastering yourself, then that might be a good idea. But otherwise, a lot of folks will have someone else master their songs, and that's just kind of up to whatever you're wanting to do. Aside from that, it sounds like you're doing all the right things. Just keep pushing at it and keep getting better, and I think you'll kind of answer your own question as you keep working on it. Okay, so those are all the questions I have here, And thanks to all of you for asking them. These are really good questions, and that's hopefully you folks that are listening learn a lot from these as well. And lastly, for all of you that are asking questions and those out there who are wanting to learn things about mixing, recording, EQ, compression, all of these different things, I definitely encourage you to come out to the webinar next Tuesday on February 2nd, 2010, and it's at 7 p.m. Central Time. I'm going to be talking about a bunch of the obstacles that we face in our home studios and how to overcome those. In addition to that, I'll be opening the doors to the HSC Production Club. And I'll be explaining what that's all about, but it's basically a 12-week training course that I do. That's just a lot of fun. You get a ton of information from me on exactly how I go about recording a song, from the first guitar part to the final mix. So it's a lot of fun, and I think you'll really get a lot of benefit out of it. And if nothing else, come out to the webinar and check it out, and we will hopefully be able to work together from there. All right, that is it for me. You guys have a good day.